Hello and welcome to the Community Broadband Bits podcast, brought to you by the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. This is Lisa Gonzalez. In our 26th episode, we talked to Josh Wallace. He works for Fiber Optics Business Development for the city of Palo Alto, California. Josh and Christopher discuss the community's extensive fiber network and how the city uses dark fiber to offer reliable, high-capacity infrastructure to local businesses. Josh and Chris review how the city became involved in the business of dark fiber, and Josh describes the resulting commercial relationships and the process. Here are Chris and Josh.
Josh Wallace, thank you for coming on Community Broadband Bits.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me, Chris.
So I've known a little bit about Palo Alto. I know that you have a dark fiber network. I've talked with some people from Palo Alto previously as you've considered making other investments, but let's start at the very beginning and get a sense of why, how you came to have a dark fiber network.
Well, in the late 90s, there was a question about whether or not we would be able to renew some of our electric contracts in the optimal way we had originally in the late 50s. So there was a big search for revenue, and I thought that maybe we would have to shore up some revenue from some of the renewed contracts that might not be quite as good as we had hoped. So we looked around and we realized that at the same time that we could connect all of our SCADA system, our electric network control system, with fiber optics, we could actually jump into the fiber optics business. So essentially, our business involves licensing to customers in the Palo Alto area a surplus fiber optic telecommunication system. It takes a couple of fiber strands to connect the SCADA system. So we thought, wow, why not put in hundreds of strands and license them to local businesses?
Was it very expensive to put in all those extra strands?
$2 million to build the entire network. And to put in the extra strands, to answer your question directly, no. The big expense is in digging the trenches to create the network and stringing the poles. The actual materials, it's just a marginal upcharge to go from two strands to 288.
Okay, so you had this opportunity or this requirement that you had to build this network, and you built a much larger network than you needed. Why would you do such a thing?
Because we saw that the telecommunications is going the way of fiber optics, and that the copper systems that were in the ground run by the private sector were really not sufficient for a technologically innovative, internet-based town and business culture.
And so how exactly does this work? You're a municipal utility and you have this dark fiber. Maybe you can walk me through the process of, I'm a business coming to town. What do I do?
What you would do is get in touch with, well, me or one of my staff, and let me know where you are, and then I can click on the AutoCAD and base map that has all of the properties in Palo Alto, all of the utility infrastructure. And I should say right now that Palo Alto is unique in California in that we own all of our own utilities, water, gas, wastewater, electric, and telecommunications, which is the fiber optic business. So we have lots of choices for infrastructure that we can use. You call me up, I see that you're at 123 Main Street, and I say, well, we do have fiber there, let's just fire it up. Or, we need to build out to that, and we're going to ask you to pay for that installation, and go through the steps to get you installed. Let's be clear at this point that we are a dark fiber network. So what that means is that we essentially provide a fiber optic pipe from your building to the Palo Alto Internet Exchange, or PACS. And Palo Alto Internet Exchange is a hosting company that hosts over 80 internet service providers. So you get to choose as a customer the best deal for your business from any one of those 80 providers. Basically, anybody in the internet carrier ISP business has a presence at PACS. So we build you a pipe from your company over to our backbone, and then over to the Internet Exchange, PACS, and then we cross-connect you from our cage at PACS over to your carrier. And we charge for the piece that we provide, and you make a separate deal with the Internet service provider, and you provide your own electronics. So it's real hands-off for us, which is really a good model for a city, because we don't want to be in the critical customer support business, electronics, and guaranteeing uptime and having all that liability. Our system is rock solid. It is a fiber optic pipe in a town where we own the streets. So it's a great model.
Oftentimes, these dark fiber networks seem to be 20-year agreements. I take it you have a shorter, different take on that.
Yes, what we do is we try and model our fiber optic service after the electric service, so it's not coming as a big surprise to the customers. We do ask our customers to sign a limited liability agreement, saying that if the fiber should go down, and by the way, it really doesn't. I can say in my years of experience here, it's just rock solid, way over the 5.9s reliability code. We say to the customer, should the fiber go down, we will pay you for the time that you went down, but we will not pay you for any resulting damages. So if you're E-Trade, we're not going to owe you $10 million for the hour you were down, which is just logical, and everybody seems to agree to that. So it's not a problem. That's never been a stumbling block.
Are these typically monthly contracts or yearly? Is there like a minimum term?
We go 1 year. We put 1 year up there, but it's somewhat decorative because what we do is charge for the installation on our side up front. So we're very conservative. We charge for the installation up front. So, we tell you as a small business, it's going to cost you, let's say, $2,000 or $3,000 to get installed, just picking a number. You pay that up front. So, we cannot lose any money. If you understand that we're not amortizing our installation over your service period. We get it all up front, so we're safe.
Is there a common yearly cost on an ongoing basis?
Yes, because we charge by the month, and our minimum is $635 for our part. $635, then there are going to be additional charges for whatever your electronics are and whatever the internet exchange charges basically for the cross-connect fee going from our equipment over to your carrier, your ISP. That's about $300. I'm just throwing out some rough numbers. And then there's internet service,
mm-hmm.
which is a wide, wide range of costs. If you're buying a gigabit, if you're buying 10 megabits, if you're buying it for 5 years, if you're buying it for 6 months, it's all over the place. Basically, internet bandwidth is a commodity at this point. So there's all kinds of ways of getting a good deal on that.
The way this arrangement works, then, if I'm using your dark fiber and I'm doing 10 megabits a second, I'm probably not being very smart because it would cost me the same from Palo Alto to do a gigabit as it would 10 megabits. There would be
absolutely
a difference in costs from the ISP that I connect with.
Yes, absolutely. And you make a good point in that we are a flat fee, and fiber optics, just by the nature of it, it's light. There is zillion bandwidth in it. We are never the bottleneck. Some R&D shops have run 13 terabytes over a single strand of fiber optics, and that's a hard number to get your arms around. That's a huge amount of capacity.
So then, one of the questions I had was, if I'm a small business, what expertise do I have to have the expertise of knowing what electronics to terminate with and something along those lines? Or is there someone in Palo Alto or nearby that would help me to solve that problem?
Typically, there's an IT guy or a computer guy at every company, because if somebody's going to come to us looking for that, for this type of service and realizing that it's far and above superior, if I may say so, to the commercial offerings, this is somebody who kind of knows what's going on. So I really haven't run into anybody who says, I can't do this because I don't understand it, or I can't do this because we don't have that kind of staff. It's actually very simple. These are components, the electronics at either end, to be found at basically electronic shops. I don't say Best Buy, but if you go we have Fry's Electronics out here that they'll have some routers. They'll have any place that has a consumer level, consumer and prosumer level telecom gear. Pretty easy to put together. We have people who really are not experts in the IT field running their service and never had a problem.
Palo Alto has an incredible reputation for very intelligent people. I'm curious, do you have many residents that have tried to connect to your network?
Yes, the answer is there are lots and lots of very savvy residents who would like to have this going to their home. Unfortunately, you know, we have determined that the business model for fiber to the home is suboptimal, especially in Palo Alto, where we have two or three of the national providers here who have the dominant market share and are extremely hostile to upstart places like Palo Alto trying to start their own network. So, you know, we would run the risk of legal action, being tied up in court, predatory pricing, and whatnot. It's a very volatile business. You know, it's also a volume business. So the fiber to the home stuff, or just residential telecommunications, in so much as, you know, we would have to engage a television provider, an internet service provider, telephone, video, and internet, a triple play. Very costly, hard to amortize over a reasonably small town where the national incumbents are amortizing over basically the lower 48 United States.
Right. We fully understand all of those difficulties and challenges. What I had meant to ask, and I'm glad you answered that question because that was a question I was going to ask next, but I'm curious if you have extended the dark fiber network to any residents who are very ambitious or, you know, have very high needs.
Yes, the answer is yes, but they are treated as commercial customers. We do not have a residential pricing tier.
Right, that's about what I would have expected. So how has the presence of this network impacted your local job scene? Have you had more businesses coming into town because of this?
Well, you ask the tough question, and it's hard to quantify economic development based on an indirect influence such as a robust telecommunication system. We do consider having this network to be an added value to doing business in Palo Alto. We have two or three local ISPs and several very large companies that say we cannot do without this. We have one that likes to be talked about. We have kind of veil of secrecy for others to respect their privacy. But VMware, for example, a virtualization company based in Palo Alto, before they consolidated into a huge contiguous campus, had 11 offices in Palo Alto spread over the town. And they connected all of their buildings with our network. And this is a major R&D shop. So they are running gigabits, you know, tens of gigabits over our fiber to connect the building and send all of the R&D information to the additional buildings, and as well as just supporting their business. So they love us. And so I like to think that it's just one of dozens and dozens and dozens of companies that feel the same way.
Can you share the number of customers that you have?
We have about 60 at this point. Several of those customers are resellers. Take our fiber and add the electronics and add the bandwidth and create a turnkey for the end user. So we have hundreds and hundreds of connections.
That seems actually fairly similar to what Santa Monica has. I think they've just crossed the 70 threshold, and you know, they do dark fiber and some lit services now.
Right, but to be sure, that's 70 customers with hundreds and hundreds of connections.
Right.
Because a particular reseller may have 100 connections.
Right. Now, and I guess the other question is there a type of business that is in particular? I mean, is it mostly IT companies that have been interested in this, or is it a broad range of companies?
It's a broad range, and anywhere from R&D companies, you know, software, biotech, space industry, legal. I characterize our customers as those needing internet connectivity as the tent pole of their business. Now, the lawyers like it for the security. Everybody likes it for the reliability. The R&D folks like it for the speed. We have two or three employee multimedia shops that use our fiber, and we have 10,000 employee software companies that use our fiber. So it's not really based on size, but the big companies all have it. So yeah, we're not exclusive. It's not like, oh, you're too small for us. It's like, do you need the telecom service that we provide? If so, let's do it.
Okay. Is there anything else we should know about this network?
Yeah, we are essentially in the economic development business at this point. We are at a point where we have the model set up so that we recover all of our costs, because as a municipality, we have a cost recovery model. We've covered all of our capital costs, so we sit back and the checks roll in. Now we are looking at lots of different projects that we can do for the city with our surplus revenue. We're in the process of partnering with the school system to build a fiber optic network for them.
I'm sure that's necessary. I actually read about the franchise negotiations with Comcast, where they really threatened to raise the prices dramatically high, and I don't know where it ended up, but I'm very glad to hear that you're going to be building or that you are in the process of building a network for the schools, because it sounded like they needed it.
Yeah, they need it, and they like us a lot, and we're going down that road, so we're going to break ground on that in the next couple of months. Another question that often comes up is, how do our prices compare with the private sector in terms of telecommunications? It's difficult to look at other services in an apples-to-apples fashion, because we're a dark fiber service. Basically, the AT&Ts and Verizons and whatnot are all bundled services with turnkey with bandwidth and whatnot. But some of our sort of back of the envelopes have shown us to be anywhere from 20% to 80% less than those carriers.
Well, I think that's a pretty modest claim, and I want to make sure listeners are aware of that, because, as you described the connection with VMware, with the kind of traffic that they're moving, and knowing that the companies that serve you flat out refuse to provide dark fiber typically because they want to offer the services where they can make more based on the volume, I have to think VMware's savings are even higher than what you just quoted.
Right, and that would be the perhaps the upper end of the spectrum with the amount of data that they're pushing, because we don't meter data. It's like you do whatever you want, and they do. And I mean, the rocket companies here. We have two rocket companies, and they use a lot of bandwidth. I have what I call a virtual campus. I mean, their connectivity between buildings creates complete transparency. There's just no bottleneck. So the data is like the guy sitting next to you.
Right. I think we often get hung up on this idea of connecting to the internet, and so much for businesses, it's just about getting across town or even across the street without having a bottleneck.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because if you have a physical building that's not contiguous or even just next door, as you say, you got to have a pipe across the street.
Thank you for coming on and getting us a better sense of how the dark fiber network works in Palo Alto.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for inviting me on, Chris.
That was Christopher talking with Josh Wallace from the city of Palo Alto about their extensive dark fiber network. You can learn more about several other communities that have capitalized on this great tool for economic development. Visit muninetworks.org and click on the Dark Fiber tag. If you have any questions or comments, please send us a note. Email us at podcast@muninetworks.org. Our handle on Twitter is @communitynets. This show was released on December 18th, 2012. Thanks to the Mojo Monkeys for the music licensed using Creative Commons. The song is called Bodacious.